Godzilla is now in New York City.
Monster 01 and 02, commence the attack.
Dylan, was it as bad as you were afraid it was gonna be?
It's pretty close.
It's
pretty bad.
Are we previewing our thoughts on this matter?
Definitely. Okay. It's pretty bad. Andrew, how bad is it? As bad as you remember it being the last time you watched it?
It's as bad as I remember. Members.
Is it as bad as you remember it being?
Well, I mean, I've seen it like 10 times, but...
God, I hope not.
I've probably seen it. This one is one of the ones I've watched the least. Probably, that was probably my, I mean, it's probably still my fourth, fifth, sixth time watching it, something like that.
I've been there for like all those.
All of them?
Anyway. What movie would that be that we're talking about, Aaron?
That is Godzilla Raids Again.
Which is, I believe, the fifth subject of Stomp This Way.
Yeah. We are talking about the second film in the Godzilla franchise.
Sure.
Just so you know, my name is Aaron.
My name is Andrew.
And my name is Dylan.
And yeah, we're going to sit here and talk about the final black and white entry into the Godzilla franchise.
Thank God, I can't stand that stupid monochrome look.
Okay, well, you
I'm
can
kidding.
Give yourself. Just kidding. But like always, before we really dive deep into our thoughts on this film, we're going to start with where this movie came from.
Are we?
Honestly, I couldn't find much about the making of the original Japanese cut of this movie.
It's because nobody cares about Japan.
That's rude.
But, I care about Japan.
I want to kind of make a habit of this. Before we get into everything, I want to go over the alternate titles for this movie, because I think that's kind of fun. So, most people know this movie by the international title, Godzilla Raids Again. Obviously, there was a U.S. edit that was heavily edited.
How heavily?
Well, I'll talk about it when I get to the release, but they did some crazy stuff with it. They were going to do some even crazier stuff with it, but they backed out of it. But the American version is called Gigantus the Fire Monster. Yeah.
That's not a thing.
Well, apparently it is. I have seen the
American version. What fire monster?
Well, Godzilla is a fire monster, but there's a whole history behind it. I'll talk about that in a minute. Then the Japanese original title translates most directly to Godzilla's Counterattack, which I actually like. But even though
I like
it doesn't
Godzilla's
make sense,
Counterattack better than Raids Again.
Godzilla Raids Again. Well, I mean, really, it doesn't make that much sense since it's not the same Godzilla, so it's not really counterattacking.
You could also argue that because it's not the same Godzilla, could he raid again?
I don't know.
So.
Yeah.
Another Godzilla raids.
But, okay, so this movie was rushed into production right after the
release. Very clearly.
Yeah, right after the release of the original Godzilla film, because that original film, like I talked about, was a huge hit. This movie was released on April 24th. The first film came out November 3rd of the previous year. So that's November, December, February.
It's a seven-month turnaround.
March, April.
That's a five-month turnaround.
It's a five-month turnaround.
I don't know how to do math anymore. It's a five-month turnaround.
It's a five-month turnaround. Well,
six.
Six if you're being generous, I guess.
Let's say it's a six-month turnaround.
They pumped this baby out.
And it shows.
One of the major differences, I think, when you're watching the movie, obviously we talked about all the issues that came along with the just massive size of the suit in the first one. That thing was 220 pounds. So this one, I think you can obviously tell, they slimmed the suit down a lot. He looks kind of like an anorexic Godzilla in this one. We'll talk about monster design later. I don't think they did it quite well. Just some fun trivia. This is the first Godzilla film to feature at least two monsters. Anguirus is in this movie.
Yeah.
Only Godzilla film in which we do not ever see Godzilla's dorsal fins light up prior to him emitting his heat ray.
I noticed that.
Yeah.
I don't know if I noticed it while I was watching the movie, but now that you say it, I do notice that did not happen.
Yeah. And the overall negative reception of this film led to a hiatus for the Godzilla franchise that lasted 7 years.
7 years?
Yeah. We'll talk about...
Do the Rodan and Mothra movies not count as Godzilla movies?
Well, no, because Godzilla's not in them. And they... I mean, we'll talk about them when we get there. They weren't. I don't think they originally envisioned making these monster movies and then throwing them all together in a movie later. I think that idea came along later after the movies were already made. But what is really interesting about this is how the American release of this thing came about. Jesus. Even though we're not reviewing the American release.
We are reviewing the original Japanese
version. We're reviewing the original Japanese cut. But so Toho originally sold the rights to him for the American release to producers named Harry Ribnick and Edward Barrison. ABPT was to fund and distribute the film, which was called the... they were going to re-edit it. What they were going to do, they were going to make a completely new film called The Volcano Monsters, and they were going to take some of the footage of Godzilla Raised Again and just include the footage of Godzilla and Anguirus as two of several monsters that were going to be in this movie they were making. And Toho actually shipped the Godzilla and Anguirus suits over to America to film new scenes, but somehow the suits got lost in transportation.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't know how you lose two suits, but I don't know. They got lost. They're probably in somebody's basement, in Chicago or something. But this movie was gonna be about fire monsters, all these monsters that came out of the volcano or whatever.
This sounds terrible.
It probably was going to be, but unfortunately, ABPT. Closed shop in 1957 before production could really get underway. So the rights were then sold to producer Paul Stridman, whatever, who hired a guy named Hugo Grimaldi to do rewrites and re-edits. Those included Godzilla's name was changed to Gigantus.
That's stupid.
For a long time, it was suspected that they just simply didn't have the right to the name Godzilla. I mean, so that's why they changed it. But no, they said it has been said later that they just changed it because the producer felt like American audiences would be more apt to see a original, quote-unquote original film than a sequel to that other Godzilla movie that came out. So that's why they changed the name to Gigantus. And Godzilla's roar was largely replaced with Anguirus's roar, because if you watch the American edit, they try to say that Godzilla and Anguirus are of the same dinosaur family or something. So they replaced Godzilla's roar with Anguirus's roar, mostly to imply that... to more heavily hammer home the fact that they were basically the same creature or whatever.
Definitely not.
Yeah, it's dumb. Also, Masaru Sato's score was largely replaced with stock music Warner Brothers had. And then Warner Brothers distributed the film, which was released on May 21st, 1959 in America. The English dub actually included a very young George Takei in a fairly minor role.
So it's first but it's probably, credited role on IMDb.
Yeah, so he is... That was, I think, probably the first job in Hollywood, as far as I can tell, that he ever had. So,
how did you pronounce his name?
George Takei. I said Takei, but I think it's Takei.
You said Takei. It's Takei.
No, I think it's Takei.
I've always heard pronounced George Takei.
I heard somewhere someone said Takei. I don't know. Doesn't matter. I don't know. And then it was
the guy with the really deep voice from Star Trek.
Zulu. Ooh, and it was released in America as a double wheel with Teenagers from Outer Space.
What is
probably
that?
The B side.
What is that?
No, never watched it. Don't plan on watching it anytime soon.
Come on, we gotta find that somewhere.
Oh, I'm sure it's somewhere. It might be interesting. It's one of those. It's one of those really bad movies that teenagers go to the drive-in in the 50s to watch.
I'm down.
So box office.
Box office.
This movie sold 8,340,000 tickets in Japan. Made roughly in Japan what would translate today is $1,670,000 $1,670,080. I had a hard time getting that out. That's in American dollars. I read somewhere that it was the 10th most successful film of Japan for 1955, but I also read that it is still the third most attended Godzilla film and the 28th most attended film in Japanese history. So it was not a flop. This movie still...
At least not in Japan.
Not in Japan. I mean, I don't know how it did in America. I mean, it was a double bill, so, you know, it's kind of hard to separate out those numbers. But it made a lot of money in Japan. But still, despite that, the negative reaction, that the overall general negative reaction the movie got was still enough to kind of put the series to bed for a while. But anyway, I think that's about all I had as far as making of goes. So we're going to pause here momentarily. We're going to play the original Japanese trailer. And we will return. I will read off the cast and crew. I will butcher some names pretty bad. And then Dylan will give you a plot synopsis.
Probably.
So, see you in a bit.
Excitement to stagger the imagination. The fantastic fire monsters raging out of the flaming bowels of hell. Mighty Gigantus crushing whole cities in its wrath. And deadly Anguirus screaming its challenge of mortal combat. The battle of the ages. Scenes and sights and sensations beyond anything the screen has ever shown.
Alright, we're back. I'm going to go ahead and read off the cast and crew, and Dylan's going to give you the plot synopsis. So this movie is directed by Motoyoshi Oda.
I like that name.
It is written by Takeo Murata and Shigeki Hidaka. Probably messed that up. Starring Hiroshi Kazumi, Setsuko Wakayama, Minoru Chaiki.
Chaiki? I don't know.
And then Haru Nakajima as Godzilla and Katsumi Tezuka as Anguirus.
Katsumi.
And effects are by Eiji Tsuburaya, obviously. And music is by Masaru Sato, who is most world-renowned for all the scores he did for Kurosawa movies. What about the plot?
All right, so this plot summary is prepared by Aaron himself.
Yes.
And let's go ahead and begin. When two pilots, Tsukioka and Kobayashi, are stranded on an island while out looking for schools of tuna, they encounter another Godzilla, but this time Godzilla is not alone as the two pilots witness him brawling with Anguirus, another ancient dinosaur. Godzilla soon makes his way to Osaka, but is nearly led away by military planes dropping flares before escaped convicts crash into an oil refinery and create a huge blaze, drawing not only Godzilla back to the city, but Anguirus as well. The two behemoths battle it out, destroying the city in the process. Godzilla eventually defeats Anguirus and returns to the ocean. The military track him to a small, frozen island and proceed to assault him there. The plan does not seem to be working, but when Kobayashi's plane is struck by Godzilla and crashes into the mountainside, causing an avalanche, it gives Tsukioka the idea of burying Godzilla in the ice. The military successfully carries out this operation, and the film closes with Tsukioka mourning the loss of his close friend.
Alright, so when we left off with Godzilla back in 1954... Mm-hmm. He was dead. He was incinerated.
Very much so.
So the biggest conceit, and there's a lot of conceits you got to give this movie, but the biggest one of them is that there just happens to be another Godzilla lying around. And not only another Godzilla, but another monster, Anguirus, as well.
Yes.
And because this is a 1950s, honestly cheesy monster movie, you know, I'll roll with it. You know, it's kind of whatever. Mm-hmm. You got to have Godzilla come back. I would rather them do that then somehow retcon the end of the last one and say Godzilla lived, honestly. But, I mean...
It's whatever, I guess.
It's whatever, you know. You gotta get Godzilla back.
It's a different Godzilla, clearly, because he looked completely different. Because
he's way skinnier. This one's been hitting the gym.
He's been feeling it.
He's been pumping iron, bro.
Running on that treadmill real good.
Him and Angers have been fighting so long.
They've been broing it out.
Broing it out.
I don't even know what that means. Roll with it.
But, I mean...
Talk about it.
So
let's talk about the story, I guess, first, right?
Yeah, story first. So
it's
this
bad.
Movie is only 81 minutes.
Yeah.
And it actually,
thank God.
It actually moves pretty fast.
It's because nothing happens.
If you look at it, because I wrote down that Godzilla shows up at the 8:30 mark. Like, almost exactly. Like, that's pretty early on in a Godzilla movie for
nothing
Godzilla to show up.
Nothing happens in this movie of importance.
But, like, before we get to that, we have, like, 3 minutes of Tsukiyoka. That's how I'm saying his name anyway.
Circling
the island looking for Kobayashi after Kobayashi, like, runs out of gas and, or, I guess, has engine trouble and lands on this island or whatever.
Yeah, his engine failure.
So, it's like, you can already tell they were having issues filling out this running time. So anyway, they see Godzilla, like, fighting Anguirus, and then they go back.
They're like, oh my lord. Not Godzilla.
Not Godzilla. They go back, and they have, like, that scene that's ripped straight from Beast from 20,000 Fathoms, where they're looking through the
destroys a lighthouse.
No, well, when they're looking through the dinosaur pictures and trying to identify them, and they find Godzilla, obviously, and they find Anguirus, who they straight up call him an ankylosaur.
Yes.
Is that a real dinosaur?
Ankylosaur is a real dinosaur. They're the ones that have, like, kind of like Anguirus. They have, like, spikes on their back, and they have, like, a big club at the end of their tail.
Yeah, I've seen those.
Yeah, so, I mean, they've been in I think they're one of them was in a Jurassic Park movie at some point.
Probably.
But he doesn't really look like he kind of looks like an ankylosaur, but, you know, like a pretty radically changed one.
He got radiated.
Yeah, it's the atomic bomb. It changed him.
Well, now they say in that dinosaur book, like, ankylosaurs are 150 feet to 200 feet. And I'm like,
what?
No, they're not. They're probably like 8 to 10 feet long. But we'll look over that.
He's got to be big enough to fight with Godzilla.
Yeah.
Got to be big enough to fight with Godzilla.
They could have had
him be like an actual, like, ankylosaur that was just irradiated by and turned giant by radiation, but whatever.
That wouldn't be as cool. Anymore.
Yeah, no, that's not as cool.
But he's
Aaron.
A very aggressive species, and so that's why him and Godzilla are fighting for turf or whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah, I know. And then Dr. Yamane, played by Takeshi Shimura.
Makes
a glorified cameo.
Where he's literally the entire time.
He's got a paper in front of him.
Literally reading his lines off a piece of paper.
He's literally reading his lines off of it. And again, trying to fill out the runtime here.
They play like 3 to 4 minutes of
the original Godzilla movie.
When he's attacking Tokyo. And I'm like,
it's like,
bro.
And you know, like, I mean, this is an old movie, so I'll give it a pass. But it's like that like trope, like in context of the movie, who is there filming all of that? For them to have this footage, you know? Like, the one thing they do get right, at least it doesn't have any sound to it, which is kind of realistic. Because, like, you know, sound recording equipment, you know, didn't, like, just automatically come with cameras and stuff. But, like, yeah, it's kind of whatever, but, you know.
So we're supposed to assume that the original footage filmed in the original Godzilla movie 6 months prior, we're supposed to assume that some rando Japanese man was out there filming the exact same shots.
Yes.
Perfect.
But what's really crazy about this movie, like the craziest plot thing that is like the dumbest thing ever, is why are these two tuna fish pilots like so involved in the search and like eventually like the attacks on Godzilla from the Air Force?
Aaron, nothing in this movie makes sense. It's literally pointless.
Whatever.
This movie's pointless. It has somewhat of a plot.
It has a little bit of a plot.
Not really.
But again, you know, it feels like forever for Godzilla to show back up, but it's only the 24-minute mark when Godzilla...
It's a short movie, okay?
...comes back to Osaka.
If you wanted to see Godzilla fighting, because that's what I like, I mean...
Rubber suited throwdowns?
I like my throwdown. I like my good throwdown in the ones that I've seen, and the ones that I've seen, I want it to be at the end of the movie, and this one's like right smack dab in the middle.
Yeah, and this Osaka scene lasts a long time, and I mean not all
like
of
20
it is,
minutes.
Not all of it is Godzilla destruction scene, but I wrote a 24 minutes Godzilla like show, first his head first pops out of the water, and then when Godzilla beats Anguirus and the scene ends, it's 46 minutes. So it's a 22-minute ordeal we have here. Now a lot of it is intercut with this, so like. Godzilla shows up, and, like, Yamane automatically, like, at this meeting we were talking about, has a plan, like, oh, yeah, you can't kill Godzilla, but, hey, I have this great idea, like, if you drop flares, like, they'll lead him away from the city, because
But you have to
light.
Turn all the lights out
which,
in the city.
Which, they briefly, there's one dropped line in the original Godzilla where Yamane's like, turn off the lights. Like, they'll just anger Godzilla. But they make it to, like, a huge plot point of this movie. So, yeah,
they have to turn all the lights out.
They black out Osaka. It's hilarious because, like, the little miniature models that they have, like, as the lights go out, like, even the car, the little cars they have, on, like, running on tracks on the road, their headlights go out at, like, the exact same time as all the buildings
You're
do.
Like,
everybody's synchronized. Japanese people are just very synchronized. That's just how they do
just,
it.
They're just perfect.
They're just perfect people. But Godzilla shows up, and they drop the flares, and Godzilla starts to walk away. And they kind of work well with the tension here, I guess, with the flares. And then there's this totally, like, randomly dropped in here subplot with these prison transfer. Which, why are you transferring prisoners in the middle of a Godzilla attack? There's this prison transfer where the prisoners, like, fake one of the guys having a seizure, so they overtake the cops in the car and then, like, get out and they're chased and they get into this fuel truck and crash it into some kind of I think I said an oil refinery in the plot summary. It's some kind of building or something, and cause this huge blaze, which now leads Godzilla back. And then also I wrote in the plot summary that it's the huge blaze that attracts Anguirus. The boss of the tuna plant actually says the line, like, the flares that are meant to lead Godzilla away are the ones that attracted Anguirus. But he doesn't know what attracted Anguirus. Like, I would much more buy that huge blaze at the oil refinery or whatever is what attracted Anguirus over those flares.
Definitely.
But whatever, you know. It's minor points here. Anyway, so Godzilla and Anguirus duke it out here in Osaka. This lasts for a little while. Mostly it's just Godzilla, like...
We destroy our first castle in the series.
Oh, yeah, the Osaka castle will get destroyed many more times. Godzilla just, like, chunks Anguirus through it. It's kind of funny. But, yeah, mostly it's just Godzilla beating up on Anguirus. And then Godzilla, like, bites his neck. And, like, there's blood. Like, actual blood in this movie. Well, not actual blood, but, like, fake actual blood in this movie.
Fake actual blood.
And then Godzilla, like, rolls him over into the bay. And there's, like, breathes fire on him and roasts him. It's pretty brutal. And then poor Hidemi, who is the fiance of Sukioka, but we'll learn later that Kobayashi actually has a crush on her too. So they're doing the love triangle thing again, like they did in the first one, but you
couldn't see Aaron's hand
movement. My little triangle motion I made. But, like, it's to much lesser effect because these characters are terrible.
You're telling me.
Like, I do not care how these, and their lines they have to say, like, I mean, I don't speak Japanese, but if I'm going off the subtitles, these lines, this dialogue they're having to say is pretty bad. But, yeah, whatever, you know.
This movie was turned around, and they made this movie
in, like, less than six months, people.
Let's five and a half months.
Aaron, this movie's terrible.
That's why they supposedly... So I was looking at this director. What was his name?
Yeah.
Motoyoshi Oda?
Motoyoshi.
Sounds like a car company. like, I was thinking, I wonder if this guy ever, like, went on to, like, do anything important. But really, no. He's, like, 30 movies to his name. But apparently they were all, like, really cheap budget Toho movies that Toho would put this guy on because they knew that he would get movies out really quick and on time. And he never really got to be creative. So, poor guy. It looked like he did a lot of, like, cheesy horror movies for Toho. But, he got this movie pumped out in 6 months, for better or worse.
Mm.
Anyway, so after Godzilla, like, kills Anguirus, then this movie slams on the brakes for a little bit. The fight ends at 46 minutes. Godzilla, like, with the exception of a brief shot of his spines moving through the water, Godzilla does not show back up until the hour 4 mark. Which I know you're gonna say, that's only, like, 18 minutes. But it feels like an eternity.
And especially considering the fact that this movie is only 80 minutes long.
Only 81 minutes long. Mm. And this movie is structured weird. So, like, the beginning was, like, you know, they had the two pilots. They kind of introduced the characters on this island, but they quickly went away from them. And it was just, like, boardroom meeting after boardroom meeting of, like, where's Godzilla and Anguirus? Where's Godzilla and Anguirus? And then Godzilla shows up, and we have this prolonged Osaka sequence. And they do their character building scene, like, here after this first fight sequence before the climax, where they have, like, they really push this idea of this love triangle, and Kobayashi and them go to, like, some restaurant in Hokkaido where they get drunk and stuff. And they introduced Sukioka's Air Force friend and how he used to be in the Air Force or whatever.
Like, all your character building that should be toward the beginning of your movie.
Yeah. It's, like, right
takes
here.
Takes place, like, mm-hmm. Almost three quarters of the way through the movie.
Three quarters of the way into the movie. It's structured weird. And, like, you were talking about, like, you wish the big monster brawl was at the end. Again, I feel like the end sequence of this movie and the middle fight in this movie should be reversed. Like, the Godzilla by himself fight with the military should be what's in the middle, and then Godzilla versus Anguirus is what should be at the end.
And they don't even have to bury Godzilla in ice during the middle of the movie if they were to restructure this movie.
Yeah, they can have, like, Godzilla and Anguirus, like, battle it out, and then Godzilla kill Anguirus at the end, and then get buried in ice or something. Like, but the way this movie is structured is weird. But anyway, so we have this 18-minute...
Godzilla steps on a landmine or something, I don't know.
Yeah, we had this 18-minute sequence where we have some character building, and then, again, for some weird reason, it's not the Air Force looking for... I guess they probably are looking for Godzilla, but it's also these tuner fit... These tuna fish pilots also searching for Godzilla instead of working. Whatever. So they find Godzilla. He's walked up on this island that's like frozen over because it's wintertime. And Kobayashi like stays there to like keep Godzilla distracted inside the island. So he's like flying. Watching the American cut of this movie, I was always super confused. Like, why is Kobayashi like kamikaze and Godzilla? It's literally doing no good. It's a little more clear in the Japanese version that he's doing that to keep Godzilla distracted and from walking off this island. But the military first shows up with some like barrels of oil, and they're like,
we're gonna blow it up,
burn them. I think they burn them to cause a fire to like kind of encase Godzilla on this island to keep him on this island again. And then the Air Force shows up, and for some reason Sukiyoke is all of a sudden sitting in the back of one of the jet fighter pilots, which they set up that he is friends, that he used to be in the Air Force, I'm presuming probably in the war, and that these guys that work in the Air Force are still his friends, and that, I guess that kind of explains it. Like, I still don't think they would ever allow that to happen, but you know.
They're like, yeah, let's take this random civilian up, and we'll go bomb Godzilla.
Yeah. So they go, and they try to, like, shoot missiles directly at Godzilla.
Well, that sure don't work.
That doesn't work. Mm-hmm. Kobayashi does, like, one last kamikaze run to, like, not intentionally, but to, like, keep Godzilla distracted. And when he's doing it this last time, Godzilla breathes fire on his plane.
He ends up crashing. He crashes into the
side of the mountain. So, and then it causes, like, an avalanche of, like, they're just, like, blocks of ice, not, like, a real avalanche, but whatever. And they figure out, oh, if we shoot the mountain size, we can bury Godzilla in the ice. So they go back to base.
Smart.
And then come back, and we have like a literally like a 10-minute sequence of them just shooting rockets at the side of these mountains, burying Godzilla in ice. They were like, "We got to get to 80 minutes. I don't care how long the sequence has to be; it's got to hit 80 minutes."
This is just keep bombing,
just keep bombing. And then they eventually do successfully bury Godzilla in ice.
They did it.
They did it.
And then poor Tsukiyoka is just like so last monologue. Sad.
He's like, "We did it. We finally defeated Godzilla."
And you're like, roll credits. Or not really. There's no credits at the end of this movie. But
and then there's a horribly obvious matte painting of the island as they close out the movie.
Yes.
But anyway, so...
God, the story's terrible. Let's talk about our opinions on the story.
Our opinion. So my opinion is that this movie, not nearly well as written. Although it's written by, I think, Takeo Murata. He wrote the last one. I don't remember if Shingeki Hidaka did also, but... I don't think he did. But he worked on the script for the last one, and it was much better.
Well, let me tell you what the problem is. They turned this around in 5 months.
That's the problem, yes.
That's the amazing problem.
You'll really notice that.
Like, how long was the original? They said 3 weeks, right?
They wrote the script in 3 weeks. Yeah. And the movie took about 9 months to make.
And that was a good
The problem
movie.
With this is 5 months.
5 months.
5 months.
They rushed this thing
I'm
out.
Talking... 5 months from pre-production to we got to get this thing in the theater.
This thing's in theaters, like, yeah.
So really, the entire production of this movie probably took place in about 4 months. That's not even a thing nowadays.
Yeah,
barely.
Like some super small indie movies might take 4 months to make.
Maybe.
That's stretching it.
No, but yeah.
I mean, we're talking like your normal summer blockbuster or something like that. I mean, they work on stuff like that for
like 2 years.
2 years at least.
At least.
Godzilla.
4 years.
Four or five years. Still make questionable material.
But like, yeah. So I mean, it feels rushed, especially when we get to the effects later.
The effects make it feel even more rushed.
But here's the story, like the characters are so bland. Like we don't even like we said, we don't even get to. Learn really about their personality.
20 minutes into this movie, after we meet, whose name I can't even remember at this point, the chick.
Hideki or whatever.
Hideki or whatever.
Yeah.
Aaron mm-hmm. asked me her name. Like, we're like 20, 25 minutes in the movie. Aaron's like, what's her name? I'm like, oh, bro, I don't know.
Yeah, I was like, whatever.
And then I had to look it up. I was like, her name's Hadimi. He's like, oh.
Oh. Yeah, she,
And they don't even mention her name for like another 20 minutes. I was like, hey, yeah, there it is, right there.
There she is. like this love triangle they have set up. I'm like,
It just comes out of nowhere.
Comes out of nowhere. Cause
they're like, hey.
50 minutes into this movie, like 55 minutes into this
they're
movie.
They're like, hey, our movie's got about 20, 25 minutes left. They're like, I got it.
Love triangle. Like,
and like, then, like, freaking Kobayashi, he's like getting ready to leave to go on this mission or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he leaves his little booklet laying there that he was trying to keep away from earlier because he didn't want her to find out. He accidentally leaves it there.
Mm-hmm. It's his diary.
And she finds a picture of her in there and she's like, ah, sweet.
Honestly, for the longest, the first couple of times I watched this movie, didn't even register with me that it was her. And like the third time I was watching that movie, I was like, that's weird. Because she has like pigtails in the picture and it's like a much younger picture.
Yeah, no.
And like, I'm like,
kind of weird.
I guess that's supposed to be her.
You're like,
I get it's dramatic. I get it. And then, but she's like a terrible person because he just leaves it there. And the first thing she does is like grab his personal diary that she knows that he doesn't want her to read it, and she just starts reading it. And I'm like,
and then she's like,
oh, it's me.
And then I'm like, bruh, aren't you engaged?
And then Kobayashi, yeah, he's kind of a terrible person too because he's
still in his best friend's girl.
Straight up hitting on his best friend's not girlfriend, fiance. God.
Wait.
Isn't that right?
God. Even though there's this other girl that works for the tuna fishing company that I'm pretty sure has a crush on Kobayashi, so.
Whatever.
What?
Whatever.
Anyway, so let's get back to the, like, what do you think of, like, the fact that Godzilla's buried in ice is, like, it takes them so long to bury him in ice, and the fact that he has to stand still, or relatively still for that long, it's kind of like, and can he not, could he not just, like, immediately burn his way out with his heat breath?
No, Aaron.
What? Aaron.
Whatever. He's frozen.
Aaron.
He's being buried in ice.
Logic.
He's being buried in ice. Clearly, that's going to cool his core temperature down. He won't be able to use his atomic breath. I mean, science.
Okay, science. Oh, man.
What the heck?
Any other thoughts on this plot before we move on to monster design?
It's terrible.
It's not a good plot. The fact that this movie is only 81 minutes, but it feels so dragged out is bad. It's bad
The
writing.
Problem is that nothing happens of great importance.
Godzilla kills Anguirus. Godzilla gets buried in ice.
That's it. And then terrible characters.
And
padded runtime.
A lot of runtime padding goes on in this movie.
Terrible dialogue.
Bad dialogue. Like,
but we'll talk about effects here in a second.
We'll talk about effects. Some of the dialogue, some of my favorite was like, towards the beginning when the two radio girls are at the tuna, Hadimi and the other girl, and she's like, says something like,
something about her being easy.
Yeah, like they didn't mean it that way, but she's like, I'll buy you sweets later. And she's like, okay, I'll keep your secret. And she's like, oh, you're so easy. I'm like, okay. There was another line later that I thought was funny. Now I can't remember what it was. I should have wrote it down. But anyway, yeah, so I guess we should move on to monster design. We bashed this movie pretty good. Okay, well, let's start with the Godzilla, obviously. He looks rough. The full bodysuit looks pretty rough. Like, the head, like, they've redesigned it, and it looks goofy.
You know that great monster we just made?
Yeah.
Screw that.
Yeah,
it's like, because, like, in the original, you know, his eyes, like a reptilian, like, his eyes are on the side of his head, but in this one, it's like, his eyes are kind of, like, in some kind of in-between phase, where they're not, like, really in front, but they're not really on the side.
It looks so awkward.
And it just looks so
It's
weird.
Not here. It's not here.
Kind of like
here.
It's in the
it's like halfway. They're like 45 degrees. Like, so they're like, you're like, we could get like 90 degrees one direction or 90 degrees the other. Like cutting at 45 right down the middle.
And then like because they were so afraid of the suit being too heavy, like they slimmed him so far down.
They're like, guys, we almost killed our suit actor in the last movie because he almost died of a freaking heat stroke repeatedly. We got to cut this thing down.
So he looks like it's more like of a human figure in a suit. And like, I don't know, like,
it's like someone like put him in a sauna for hours upon hours and he lost weight.
He did some workouts
right on the treadmill. Dude, he's been broing out with Anguirus now. He's like, bro, no.
But the, what really looks bad is the puppet that they use a lot in this movie. Looks terrible. His teeth like protrude out like like at a 45 degree angle, like out away from his mouth, and it just looks terrible. And the
he looks like, you know, those like fake hillbilly teeth that you see. Yeah, like, that's what it looks like. Yeah. With giant like fangs. Yeah. You're like, bro.
Oh man, it is. Godzilla looks rough.
Godzilla looks terrible.
Anguirus, pretty, I will say that the full body
I like Anguirus.
Anguirus looks pretty good. And I will give credit to this, the suit actor in this movie, which they totally abandoned later. He actually stands on all fours in the wide angle shots. Like, he's on all fours. And not, like, later when the suit actor is on his knees, hands and knees, and they don't even try to hide it. Here, he, like... And they do a lot of shots, like in Osaka, where they hide the back half of his body so the actor's not always constantly having to stand on all fours. And a lot of times, Anguirus will stand up on two legs during the fight. But I do appreciate that one, a little detail. And the puppet for Anguirus doesn't look as bad as the puppet for Godzilla. It still looks kind of rough. I mean, it's obvious when it's two puppets fighting versus two people in a suit fighting. But I guess... We all agree that we do like the Anguirus suit, though.
I like the Anguirus suit.
Yeah.
I like your little figure that you have of the original Anguirus on your shelf,
it's
too.
It's pretty cool.
It looks pretty cool.
Aaron's have a lot of figures. So no.
Transitioning into effects. Oof. The matting in this movie is bad.
Oh, it's terrible.
Really bad.
It's some of the worst I've ever seen.
The matting effects. I will say, though, that...
Clearly because of the rush time.
Yeah. But Eiji Tsuburai and his crew did a really good job on these building models.
Some of them are really a little more clearly that you're like, okay, that's clearly a toy or something like that.
Yeah.
As opposed to the original where you're like, you can like, alright.
But I think that one scene where like the buildings, I don't know if it's like how buildings would naturally fall apart, but where the buildings kind of slowly like collapse on each other right before, you know, they kind of like crash down on the subway where the escape prisoners are or whatever. That looks like a pretty cool scene. And there are some really good miniature effects. I do wonder, like you were talking about the Osaka Castle, like when they were attacking it.
It just starts shattering.
Why is it shattering? I mean, I think it actually looks really good when Anguirus comes through the castle. But like, yeah, why was it shattering?
The shattering of it looks terrible too.
They were trying to suggest that. I guess think that the earth shaking from so much from Godzilla and Anguirus. Like,
I guess either that or Anguirus's roar is so loud that.
I don't know
about the sound, a glass, like shattering with someone's voice.
But yeah, the shattering looks bad.
It looks pretty
It's just
bad.
Obviously like animated cracks they drew on it. Godzilla's heat breath, like it didn't look great the first time around, but here it is obviously just like water spraying out of his mouth.
Isn't it?
And they didn't even bother, like we talked about, showing his spines glow.
Nah, that costs too much money.
Animation costs too much money.
That costs too much money.
Too much.
Like I said, the puppets, they look bad. There's a couple different scenes where they're standing on a balcony. And they, for some reason, they didn't actually just go out.
I'm
and
like,
film
why didn't you just go film on a real balcony? They're like built like this. They built this balcony set, and they had these two people freaking stand on it. And they're like, guys, screw going to an actual location and filming on a balcony. We're gonna put them in front of a green screen. I was like,
what do you think about the plane models? Because there's a lot of them in this movie.
The planes are all right.
The planes, and they did a better job. I think you pointed this out, hiding the wires for the planes in this
movie. It also could be because we watched this in 480p instead of 1080p high def.
Yeah, maybe. But, I think they... And also because there's a lot more... The jets are at more of a distance from the camera.
And they're not, like, flying right in front of the camera, clearly on, like, a wire track or something. Yeah.
I think when the planes crash, it looks all right. I do appreciate...
Friggin' one plane crash took, like, 30 years. I was like,
I do like giving the special effects crew credit. Like I said, I like the building. Them shooting the rockets at the mountain at the end. I think those explosions are pretty cool.
The explosions are cool.
Even though it's obviously just black, terrible. The blocks of ice.
Oh my gosh, the rockets coming out of those model planes looks terrible. They look like little bitty, like, black pellets, like, just falling. And they're not even, like, flying. They're kind of just, like, tumbling.
With some sparks coming out of them.
I'm like...
Yeah. No. Well, some of them are bombs, some of them are rock, but yeah.
Even bombs, okay? Bombs fall like this, straight down, pretty much, or perpendicular.
Perpendicular.
Exactly. They don't go.
You can't see me do that.
They don't go.
They kind of glide.
Tumble end over end.
They don't go like, dang it, I lost my pin cap. They don't go, that's not how it falls.
It's not a visual podcast, but I think you get our point. But yeah, so, effects... More bad than good, I think, is what we're saying.
Yes.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Speaking, I guess, effects, also, I guess we could talk about the editing of that one scene. I don't know if it's... Usually it's not editing, it's just the way it was filmed with the camera technology that they had back in the day. when Anguirus and Godzilla are fighting, when it's like,
oh yeah,
really sped up looking.
Yeah, like the way I understand it, the way I've read it, like the cameras work. The faster you cranked it, the slower the frame rate was. And you know, I think the usual frame rate is what, like 24 frames per second or whatever.
For most movies, yeah, like 24 or 30.
But they cranked some. I don't know if it was an accident or they were just trying stuff out, and they cranked it too slow, so the frame rate was too fast. So it looks like they're fighting in like 1.5 speed, like fast forward mode. But by the time
almost looks like we if you listen to our other podcast, go ahead and plug it real quick. DNA Film Wars. What we talked about our Aladdin review, kind of like Guy Ritchie directs things. Yeah. In his post production editing, he like speeds things up a lot, and he like speeds up a sequence when they're like going 1.5 speed while they're dancing and singing. I'm like, that looks weird.
It looks bad a lot, and it looks bad, really bad here.
It looks bad in 29. It looks bad in 1954 or 1955. It looks worse really in 2019.
But by the time they realized what they had done, obviously they had a strict timeline with this movie. It was late to go back and fix it.
No reshoots.
So, yeah. So, oops.
What you get.
What you get. Yeah. But moving on to, I guess, are we done with effects? Any other
comments? They're terrible.
They're horrible.
They are pretty bad. Like I said, a couple of high marks, but overall pretty bad. Mm-hmm. Score. So, Akira Fukube is not scoring this movie. It is Masaru Sato. And I will go ahead and say that I really like a lot of Masaru Sato's work on Kurosawa movies. I think he does some really good work there. I feel like he was just kind of like in between Kurosawa movies for this movie, and he
said, "Sir, we need you to pump up
score." You got a couple of days to write up a score for this movie. Go for it.
I guess.
It sounds very kind of, to me, it sounds very like generic 50s style score. Like I feel like they were trying. I don't know if they told him to do this. I feel like he was trying to kind of like mimic a 50s American monster type score. And that's kind of what we got here.
And then he's got a couple military marches, sort of, that are, I don't super care for. I mean, I'm not saying that it's poorly composed music. Yeah. I don't care for it.
Nothing's very exciting. Like, it's not memorable.
You're just like,
it's like, it's kind of there.
It's no Fukube
Godzilla theme. It's no bum, 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 bum. No, but. And then sometimes his music is just like, what was the scene like? The scene specifically, I was like, there's barely, why is there even music to this scene? This is barely music. Like when Kobayashi dies, I feel like if Fukube was scoring this movie, there'd be like this super loud, super sad like score. And Sato is naturally more, less bombastic than Fukube, but it's just like, barely
something similar like the scene after the Tokyo attack.
Yeah.
In the original Godzilla.
Yeah. But like here's this, there's barely even a score to it. I'm like, I could
like
I
a really sad yet some, triumphant song.
Yeah.
I could really like in that scene I could have really used some emotional music behind it, because I mean obviously I didn't care about the character enough to
maybe some music would have made you feel
some
something.
Music would have made me feel better, but I feel, you know, sad. But you know, whatever. So Sato, not his best performance. Before we move on to grades, I do want to briefly talk about how they re-edited this movie for the American version, because it does get worse. The American version, the guy who dubs over the voice of Tsukioka does this narration the whole movie that literally describes like every minute action that he does or that happens, and it's so annoying. And it is hilarious because the guy that dubs over Kobayashi's voice is the same guy that does the voice for Yogi the Bear. And he sounds like Yogi the Bear.
Yogi the Bear. Just Yogi Bear, brother.
Yogi Bear. Yeah. And it sounds like Yogi Bear. Oh, Bubba, what are we going to do now? it's so
good. Yeah, boo boo.
It makes him sound like that actor is already kind of like, he plays kind of a comedic, like comic relief character, but he sounds so goofy. And then, like I said, they do other stupid things like replace Godzilla's roar with Anguirus' roar to make him sound more related, which is dumb. Sato's score is largely replaced. I mean, it doesn't really lose much, but but anyway, they did not, you know, like place in a bunch of American actors like they did for Godzilla King of the Monsters, or Godzilla the American re-edit King of the Monsters. So, you know, kudos for that, I guess. But anyway, so I guess we're ready for final thoughts and letter grade. Andrew, why don't you start?
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, this movie was not the best movie ever made.
Definitely not.
It was mostly because it's short amount of time it had to be made. 5 months.
5 months.
It's not a very long time.
No.
The effects are not good in this movie. I think I'm going to give this movie a D minus.
D minus. All right, Dylan, what do you think?
All right. Yes. Story? Absolute trash.
Okay.
It's boring at times. It's rushed, kind of, at others. Poor dialogue. Terrible characters that you give zero craps about. Fight sequences and a weird structure that are all kinds of out of order. Character development 3/4 of the way through your movie that makes you have no care for your characters. You're like, eh, whatever. This late in the movie, who cares? Garbage. Garbage looking Godzilla.
You look rough.
Absolutely trash effects.
Not wrong.
A score that is okay at best. I'm gonna be harsh and give it an F.
Oh. Yeah, so...
It's bad.
That's rough. For me personally, I do appreciate that they brought in Godzilla's first foe to fight in this movie, although I do think it should have been the final fight instead of the middle fight, and the fight isn't that great. I do think the effects are overall pretty bad, although I do think, like I said, some of the building models look pretty good. Score is lackluster at best. Characters are terribly written. This movie is paced horribly. Like you say, Godzilla looks bad. I do think Anguirus, like, as a suit...
Anguirus looks good.
Pretty good.
Saving grace.
Anguirus saves this movie. He actually can't save it. But he's not in it enough to save it.
Nope.
I do think, like, there's, like, one well-executed scene, and it's the scene where they're kind of trying to build up tension to, like, is Godzilla going to follow the flares, or is he going to turn back towards the burning blaze? But overall, yeah, not a good movie. This is definitely one of the worst Godzilla movies. I'm not going to commit to saying it's my least favorite, but it's definitely in the bottom 5, probably definitely bottom 3. It's pretty rough. I'll give it the highest grade of the table, though. I'll go a D. I'll go a straight D.
A D.
So, but Dylan has handed out his first F. How many more will come?
All of them.
I'm going to go ahead and say I got a feeling that you're probably not going to like next week's movie either.
How bad?
I mean, it's not... I don't hate it, but it's not that great. Speaking of which, just so you guys know, next week's movie will be Varan.
Varan or Baron?
V.
With a V.
Varan. Known in America as Varan the Unbelievable. We will be watching the original Japanese version, which is just called Daikaiju Varan, or Giant Monster Varan. So, because the American edit, again, is much worse. Much, much worse. So, I'll save Dylan from that kind of pain.
Is that a continuing trend?
Yeah.
American re-edits being garbage.
I will say there are, and we'll talk about them eventually, there are a couple of American re-edits that are actually improvements. We might actually watch those instead of the Japanese versions. We'll get there when we get there. But yeah, so next week, Varan. I've decided to watch that movie next week to kind of continue our trend of black and white movies, because it will be the last black and white movie that we watch for quite a while. So
until like Kong, like
until
a year
we
and a
get
half
to Gamera, because the first Gamera.
Oh,
movie,
we doing Gamera before Kong?
Yeah, the first Gamera movie is in black and white, even though it was made in 1965. But whatever.
Well, the first Gamera movie is like a year and a half from now.
Yeah, it's a while. And then yeah, the first two Kong movies will also be in black and white. Other than that, I'm not sure what other black and white movies I have on the
schedule. How many Kong movies are there?
There is six Kong, Son of Kong, King Kong Escape, not including King Kong vs. Godzilla, which we'll watch during this series. King Kong Escapes, the 70s King Kong Lives, Peter Jackson's King Kong, and then Kong Skull Island. So 7. Yeah.
8
so,
if you count the new one.
8 if you count Kong vs. Godzilla or whatever. 9 if you count King Kong vs. Godzilla, which we, like I said, watch for this during this series anyway. So, and then a bunch of Kong ripoffs that we're going to watch. So,
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's going to be a little rough. Wait till you get to King Kong Escapes. That is. And then King Kong Lives is even better. Oh my God. Hey. Wow, Lady Kong.
Why have I agreed to this? Oh, am I going to regret this by the end of this?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
By the end of our 2.5-year initial schedule, over 100...
6 months in, Dylan's going to be like, mega stop.
130 movies in, at the end of this 2-year time span, I'm going to die. We'll find more content.
Before we close this out, yeah, there was a couple news items I wanted to cover. So first of all, Toho is going to have their first ever booth at San Diego Comic-Con to celebrate the 65th anniversary of Godzilla.
Pretty cool.
They're going to have, like, I mean, I don't think we're going to have any major, like, announcements, like, as far as films or whatever go, but they're going to have, like, some little fun stuff, like a fun green screen photo booth thing that you can take a photo, and I guess they like crop in Godzilla in the background or whatever. A live mural painting by famed Godzilla artist Shinji Nishikawa. He's a pretty good artist. The actual suit is going to be on display from Godzilla 2000, one of my favorite suits. I can't believe it's still intact, but props from the Godzilla franchise throughout the franchise history. Exclusive Godzilla products. I did see here like today they announced they're going to have like a original 1954 like design toy that they're gonna sell exclusively at Comic-Con for like $30. I wish I could get my hands on one. Probably could on eBay later for like way
more expensive.
And then like they said, giveaways, photo opportunities, and much more gargantuan fun.
Is that what it said online?
Yeah, literally. I just copied and pasted these bullet points from bloodydisgusting.com. thank you. And then in sad news, I'm sorry if I mispronounced his name, but Tadao Takashima died at the age of 88 on the 26th of this month. We'll be watching him in a couple of weeks in King Kong vs. Godzilla. He's like the main star of that. He's also in Son of Godzilla. He's in Atragon, and he's in Frankenstein Conquers the World. He's a really good actor. His son also plays in a couple of Godzilla movies later down the road. But sad that another actor goes, but you know, these movies are old, and therefore the people that played in them are also really old. So, but he lived a long life. He was 88, so sad.
Clint Eastwood's 89.
Clint Eastwood is an old man. But Clint Eastwood's already got a new movie project he's working on.
As a director?
Yeah, as a director. I don't know if we'll ever see him playing another movie, but we're not talking about Clint Eastwood on a giant monster podcast, although I wish he was in a giant monster movie. If Clint Eastwood would direct the next Godzilla movie, I would give my left pinky.
Your left pinky? It's not worth much.
It's worth a lot to me. Okay, so that pretty much concludes the content I had for this episode. I guess we can go ahead and plug our other podcast, DNA Film Wars, where we just released a review for Toy Story 4.
Toy Story 4.
We will be releasing, well, actually, by the time this episode comes out, I guess Toy Story 4 would have been last week's episode, and we just released a review of Child's Play. Next week will be
Spider-Man Far From Home. So if you want to hear us talk about something other than an old giant monster movie, this format's kind of similar. We actually just changed it up. We talk about movies over there, so yeah.
A lot of fun
times. We're up on SoundCloud's, our main host service over there on that podcast. We're up on all major podcatching services, specifically, you know, iTunes, if you want to listen to us. It's always great.
Contact us for that podcast. You can contact us at dnafilmwars@gmail.com. But as far as this podcast goes, we have a website. Andrew, what's that website?
www.stompthisway.podbean.com.
All right, and Dylan, are we up on social media?
Yeah, man. So we are up on Facebook, we're up on Instagram and Twitter. You can follow us at Stomp This Way on all those social media platforms. So go ahead and give us a like or a follow, and be sure to tell your friends about us if you like hear us ramble on about old giant monster movies.
Yeah, and if you have any specific questions and or comments, you can contact us at stompthisway1954@gmail.com. If you want to see our full schedule of events or movies that we're going to watch, you can go to our website and click on the schedule link. Like Dylan said, we have our schedule planned out for like 2.5 years.
Yeah, like, till like September of 2021 or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. So we got plenty of content.
And then we'll find more after that.
And then we'll find more. They'll make more. And we'll
make giant monster movies till the end of time.
Expand into maybe other creature feature territory if we have to. But no, I think we're having a lot of fun so far.
I'm enjoying it. I mean, I like it. As bad as this movie was.
Next week, don't forget to join us for Varan the Unbelievable. And then next time we get back to Godzilla, it will be for King Kong versus Godzilla.
Which is actually not bad. I've actually seen that one.
Yeah, that one's pretty fun. All that being said, I'm Aaron.
I'm Andrew.
And I'm Dylan. We'll catch you in the next one.